This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. We enjoy the summer months with the beautiful warm weather, but as I've repeatedly said, it is a difficult time for radio broadcasts. Traditionally, it has been a time that we've struggled to keep up with expenses, and actually, for a couple of months this spring and early summer, I was just greatly encouraged that we were doing better than usual. But that hasn't been the case the last few weeks. So there is a very special need at the present. If you want us to continue this program on your station, it would certainly be a blessing for you to help us with the support of it. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Today we continue in our series in the Gospel of John, looking at John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17. Do you love Jesus? That's the question Jesus himself asked in speaking to Peter. Let's read about it. John chapter 21, beginning in the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. In our previous message from this portion of Scripture, we saw Jesus inviting the disciples to come and dine. What a beautiful sight. They had been laboring all night in their effort to catch fish, and their effort had been unsuccessful. Now Jesus says, let down the net on the right side of the boat, and they catch an abundance of fish. Oh, how different it is when we do things directly as commanded by the Lord. There was success. But Jesus already had breakfast on the fire. He had prepared fish and bread for them and said, come and dine. As we entitled that message, Breakfast with Jesus, I hope that that phrase has come to your mind periodically. And you've thought about what it would mean each morning when you have breakfast, to make that a time of fellowship with Jesus. To begin with prayer. If you're alone, in meditation, to think about Jesus. If you're with other family members, to talk about Jesus. Now it said that when they had dined, when they had finished eating, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Lovest thou me? Jesus had already met with Peter since the resurrection. Luke chapter 24 and the 34th verse indicates that. We don't know about that conversation. We have no details about that meeting, but we know that it did occur. So it would appear that Jesus had already started the process of restoring Peter after his terrible downfall. Now he would have him express his love in the presence of the other apostles. And it is his intent to restore him to the ministry and to the apostleship. And obviously he wants the others to witness this. It's interesting to observe the similarities. When Peter denied Jesus, he was warming himself by a charcoal fire. When Jesus is ready to restore him, he had prepared breakfast on a charcoal fire. Maybe just looking at those charcoals, blazing as they were, brought back to Peter the memory of what he had done that terrible night. But on three different occasions, he denied his Lord. Became adamant. I don't know this man. Don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man, Jesus. It's also interesting to observe that as Peter denied the Lord three times, Jesus asked him, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And also we observe that he calls him by his former name, Simon. Jesus had given him the name Peter, which means rock. But now as he is addressing him to deal with his failure and restore his fellowship and his position as a faithful laborer in the church, he calls him Simon. Jesus uses the word when he asks, "Do you love me?" which in the Greek is the highest form of love, that agape love, that love of the highest level. Do you love me? And when Peter replies, he uses the word phileo. It is a love of affection, a brotherly love. Obviously, Peter at this juncture is unwilling to make any rash claim about the depth of his love that he had made previously, because he has seen clearly the weakness of his own flesh, how easy it is to fall short. Jesus, though, accepted Peter's humble response and commissioned him to feed his sheep, making it very evident to all who observed. They might have had some question about Peter at this juncture, and they might have had some doubt about him. But Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." He's restoring him to a position of importance, leadership in his church. There's a work for him to do. Now, there's several things we want to observe about this love. When Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" First of all, the object of this love. Love for God has always been a mark of true religion. The emphasis was there in Old Testament times. We look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." This was a commandment of God. You're to love God. Not just admit there is a God. Not just say, "Well, I do want to respect him." You are to love him. Love the Lord with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. Then in the 10th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we read the 12th verse. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." This matter of serving God was not to be done in a half-hearted manner. It wasn't just a side issue in life. It wasn't a situation that when you don't have any other obligations, then give some attention to serving God. This was to be done diligently, zealously, with complete commitment. You're to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then Jesus refers to what the Old Testament law contained and says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." This commandment supersedes them all. Everything else really is summarized in it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. What importance do you attach to that commandment? There may be a lot of specifics, a lot of details that occupy your mind, some unanswered questions that you diligently try to figure out. But how often are you focused on this thought? That the greatest of all the commandments, the first above everything else, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, Peter had previously indicated that he loved Jesus. And as we trace his footsteps, in spite of the fact we observe his impetuousness and his lack sometime of understanding and his failure and downfall, underlying it all is clear evidence that Peter did love Jesus. But initially, one of his problems was self-confidence. Let's notice what he said in John chapter 13 and the 36th verse. "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." My, what a bold declaration. "Lord, I'm ready to go wherever you're going. Whatever the outcome, if it means giving up my life, I'm ready. I'll lay down my life for you." Well, you know the story. He never even got close to that. He trembled in the presence of a little girl who said, "I recognize you as being one of his followers." And, no, not me. I don't know this man, Jesus. Surely we can all see here a vivid warning against self-confidence. The scriptures tell us to take heed. The man that thinks he's standing, take heed lest you fall. If you today entertain at any point along your Christian journey an attitude, "I see others stumble. I see others coming far short. They're not serving God like I think they ought to, but I'll never fail. I'm committed to him. If it means persecution, I'm ready to be persecuted. If it means death, I'm ready to die." Take heed, lest you fall. None of us are that strong within ourselves. None of us are capable of facing our enemies. Our greatest adversary is the devil, who is seeking whom he may devour. That's why there is armor provided for us, outlined and described in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. And if we go forward without it, we are going to surely be defeated. We find another example in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, reading in the 33rd verse. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Oh my. What self-sufficiency consumed him. "Lord, many others might fail. Others might forsake you. I never will." If you even have a passing thought that would lead you to such a prideful declaration. Pray even now, Lord, forgive me. Admit you're not that tough. You're not strong enough to stand against the temptations of Satan in your own strength. So Peter had confessed his love, but he had done it with self-confidence, and he failed. Now Jesus asked, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And it probably indicates that Jesus was confronting Peter about what he had previously said, "Lord, others might forsake you, but not me," feeling that he loved Jesus better than anybody else. His love was stronger than that of the other apostles. And so he's now asking, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Are you still going to make that assertion? Are you still going to claim that your love is stronger, longer lasting, superior to these others? Now, some Bible students see it in a little different light, and I can see an argument for both. Some feel that he may have been asking, since Peter had decided to go fishing, that had been his previous occupation. No doubt he loved that. He liked that kind of work. So Jesus is asking him, "Peter, do you love me more than these? These fish you've just caught, this boat that you've used, the whole concept of fishing, do you love me better than your life's work to which you were previously committed? Do you love me more than these?" And I think it would be legitimate to ask ourselves that question in both categories. Do you love me more than these? Are you claiming that your love is superior to that of others? Or can you truly say, "I love Jesus more than I love my job, more than I love my hobbies, more than I love my money, more than I love my house, more than I love my automobile? Do you love me more than these?" The question to you, do you love Jesus? Has it been at times that by the evidence at hand, it would appear that you did, in fact, love your job more than you love Jesus? Now, it's important that you have a job. The man that doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. It's important that you work. Nothing wrong with that. But if you make an idol out of your job, that becomes the most important thing to you. You say, "I'm working to provide for my family," but part of it has turned into a prideful pursuit. I want to prove that I'm the best in my field. I want to prove that I'm topping my company. I want to prove that I can make more money than anybody else. So it's not so much a desire to provide for your family. It's a desire to satisfy your own ego. But for whatever the motives might be in being diligent and zealous in your job, is it possible in your own case that you have loved your job more than Jesus? You've loved your money more than Jesus. You take great pride in accumulating money. You constantly review your bank account, your investments. You feel great satisfaction about your successes if you make the right decision and you have invested in something that proves to be profitable. And you spend so much time reading about the stock market, reading about the economy of this country, and reading after all of the experts that claim to be able to tell you where it's headed, that you spend far more time proving that you love money than you do spending time to prove that you love Jesus. Have you loved your position? Have you loved your health more than you love Jesus? Good health is a great blessing. And we ought to take care of ourselves. We ought to try to eat right and sleep right. And exercise in the right proportion is good. But some people become health fanatics. That's the main focus of their life. Read everything you can possibly read about what to eat. And if you read long enough, one group's going to tell you to eat this stuff, and the other say, don't eat that, it'll kill you. Eat something else, and so you'll be confused. And there's always somebody coming out with a new philosophy about what's good for you and what isn't. Or you can become such a fanatic that you spend more time running and exercising than you do thinking about Jesus. Even your family. Family is important. Husbands are to love their wives. They're to assist in bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But if it gets to the place that family is uppermost in your affection, there is a problem. You see, Jesus says, "Lovest thou me?" Interesting that he didn't say, "Peter, do you love what I taught you?" Now, what Jesus had taught Peter was tremendously important. But he didn't ask that. Do you love me? If we ask that question today, you might say, well, I love the doctrine. Doctrine is good. The truth of the Bible is to be embraced, believed, relied upon, proclaimed, held to tenaciously. But do you know it's possible for a person to love a creed, a confession of faith, systematic theology, a particular doctrine, and not love Jesus? I've heard a few men at times expounding what they believed about a particular doctrine, and there seemed to be underlying anger connected with it. They were so determined, I'm going to convince everybody that what I say about this is true and they must embrace it. You may think, where is the love? Where is the focus on Jesus? Doctrine is tremendously important, but doctrine separated from Jesus is empty, cold orthodoxy. He didn't say, Peter, do you love the church? You ought to love the church. Jesus Christ is the builder of the church. He's the head of the church. But you know it's possible to love the church and not love Jesus? You can love the order of service. You can love the hymns that are being sung. You can love the fellowship that's being enjoyed, the interaction with people, seeing friends and family members, and leave Jesus out of it. Even your Christian friends, you ought to love them. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. But if you're so focused on friends, and particularly selecting those that are pretty much in agreement with you about everything, lacking the love to reach out to others that might differ from you in a variety of ways, you made an idol out of your friends. Thank God for friends. Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we can have fellowship and walk together in his service. But the question Jesus asked, lovest thou me? Secondly, let's think about the effect of this love. As a result of this love, Peter experienced deep sorrow over offending Jesus. Jesus did not come on the scene here and say, Peter, are you ready to repent? He said simply, do you love me? Now, repentance is needful. When sin has been committed, there needs to be genuine repentance. But if there is true love, there will be repentance. If you love Jesus, the very thought of your sin pierces your heart. You think about him going to the cross, laying down his life, suffering, paying the sin debt for you. And then you recall your sins, some act of rebellion, some display of anger, some fit of rage when you blurted out words that should never be spoken, some lustful thought, some sinful pursuit, a situation in which you became involved and you said, I never thought I would be at this place. I don't know what happened to me. I never thought I would be guilty of such a sin. If you love Jesus, the remembrance of those sins break your heart. But the promise of God is, even to this man will I look, he that is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. One who is arrogant, pursues a sinful course, and seeks to defend and justify themselves has no promise of God's approving smile. But when you see your sin, you grieve over it. It's an evidence of love. Well, the subject of today's message is one that we need regularly to ponder. Do you love Jesus? We can say we do, but the proof of it is that we are surrendered to him, we are obedient to him, we prove that we recognize him as the Lord of our life. If you would like to get this complete message entitled, Do You Love Jesus?, request that when writing us. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Now, till we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his good.